Sunday. Palm Sunday celebrates the day Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. While preparing my sermon, I felt something was missing in today's gospel. It's the usual Palm Sunday story. This time, I noticed that Jesus' triumphal entry finishes before he gets to Jerusalem. We need to hear about his entry into Jerusalem. It is crucial to Holy Week. Let's hear or read at least the next two verses that we are going to read it together. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." That's Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's an entry with tears and lament. Jesus enters Jerusalem weeping because Jerusalem has not recognized on this day the things that make for peace. My friends, it is possible to apply this concept to people and the world. Just reflect on your current life circumstances. Consider the events occurring globally. Look at what is happening in our country. Everyone needs peace within ourselves, with our past actions and inactions, among nations, and with the earth and all creation. What causes this loss of peace? How did it happen to Jerusalem? What causes us to lose peace, and what brings it back? Holy Week events offer answers to these questions. I think everything that will happen throughout this week reveals the things that make for peace. Just observe the events of this week. Listen to what Jesus says. He never defends himself. He consistently refrains from providing justifications or offering excuses. He does not participate in negotiations or plea bargains. He is humble and respectful. He doesn't explain or apologize. He never turns back. He doesn't do any of those things because he doesn't need to justify or defend himself. Jesus remains true to himself. Throughout his life and in the week ahead, he consistently upholds his values and principles. His inner peace allows him to remain calm with others and his circumstances. My friends, this applies equally to all of us. When we are true to ourselves, no justification is needed. We are at peace with ourselves, and we can be at peace with others, enabling us to approach interactions and challenges with a balanced mindset. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, the disciples sing, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." When Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he rides as the king who comes seeking peace. And it is interesting to know the meaning of Jerusalem. And I know you already know that. But the second and dominant part of the word Salem is a form of Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. The city of peace. Jesus approaches the city whose name is Peace as the Prince of Peace. And you know what? No one showed up. Just some grumpy old Pharisees who said, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." So, as he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." Jesus says he came to change the way we live in this world. He came to bring peace. He came to transform every city into a Jerusalem, making them cities of peace. And no one noticed. The peace he offered is more than just an end to conflict. Often, when hostility ceases, some people remain distant and disconnected from one another. They are separated to prevent further conflicts. Jesus did not come to bring that kind of peace. The peace that the Bible talks about, Shalom, is the peace brought about by reconciliation. It consists in right relationships. It consists in living together in harmony. Karl Barth, in a famous illustration, said that Shalom, the peace the Bible talks about, is like a gypsy orchestra, where I understand each player plays his or her own instrument in improvisation, doing their own thing, but listening all the time to what the others are playing and harmonizing with the others. That is what Shalom is about. Jesus wept for the city because they did not know the things that make for peace. Currently in the world, the primary method for resolving disputes is seeking justice and compensation rather than forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation is important. Important for making peace more sustainable and requires the common efforts of all the parties. Friends, perhaps the most subtle power destroying the peace is our language. Words can hurt. Words can dehumanize. That's why in war, the enemy is always described in language that is dehumanizing. That is precisely the language that is being used today from some people to refer about immigrants. And there are words that hurt me deeply because I am an immigrant who came to this country 30 years ago because God called me to come. I came as a missionary to do ministry in this country and embrace this country as my own, so I am a U.S. citizen. I didn't came from a mental institution. I didn't came out of jail. No. I think I am a child of God. So words can hurt. But there are words that heal. There are words that build. There are words that create. There are words that unite. There are words that can redeem. There are words that lead to peace. So, Who will be the people in this society who speak the words of peace? O Jerusalem, would that you knew the ways that make for peace? Jesus will finally enter the city. He will spend 5 days teaching and then be arrested and executed. At his crucifixion, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Would that you knew the things that make for peace. My friends, as you reflect on the week ahead, consider the personal actions that have caused you inner conflict. What choices have disrupted your peace? What decision has led to feelings of sadness? Let us not ignore our emotions and tears this week. They know the way. Tears bring us back to the life-giving waters of baptism. Those tears might be the key to clear our hearts and see what brings peace. Jesus cried. So we have the permission to do so too. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because you have the best words for us. Words that give us healing, peace, and moving us to share that love and peace with others. Continue to do that in us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.